You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony provides a truly holistic overview of health and vital well-being that will assist you in living your best life. Each week, she brings you fascinating topics about the Law of Attraction, Eastern medicine, as well as energy medicine that will help you to release physical and emotional blocks. It's time to create a truly magical life full of abundance, health, love, and happiness. Dr. Tony has the answers you have been waiting for.
Welcome, everyone, to Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony. I absolutely love supporting people who are motivated to improve their health and overall well-being naturally. Thank you for sharing your time with me today. I am so excited to share with you my experience in the field of psychology and traditional medicine. Over the last two decades, I learned so much on what are the key elements to live a life full of abundance, happiness, health, and overall well-being. And that is what I want to share with you in this show. I will share with you the concepts I have found useful and effective for my clients and myself, and I will provide tools to empower you on your journey to health, happiness, self-love, so you're able to focus on creating the life of your dreams. So the topic for today, my first show, I really want to talk about the basics. To set the foundation for this show, the majority of my work is based on the concepts of natural medicine, in particular Eastern medicine. I am also a firm believer in science. Therefore, I will do my best to correlate the concepts of traditional medicine with the scientific research that validates it. I named this show Multidimensional Health because I truly believe that we are multidimensional beings. We are more than just flesh and bones, organs, hormones, and chemistry. We also have energy flowing through our body. And in fact, we also have a live body, a timeless energetic essence that connects us to everything in the universe. This is often referred to as our energetic anatomy or our energetic body. For thousands of years, many different cultures have developed very similar systems that describe what the human energy anatomy looks like, how it flows and functions, as well as how it interacts with our physical bodies. You may have heard some of these components of this light body, such as the aura, chakras, nadis, kundalini, and meridians, amongst many others. Well, together your physical body and energy anatomy form your consciousness, and all parts of your consciousness, physical or not, are interconnected, and they interact and affect each other, as well as occupy the same space. If one of these components changes, it affects and changes the rest. This means that any change in your physical body, such as created by stress, toxins, or hormone imbalances, will eventually reach your energetic anatomy, and the opposite is true. Any negative change in your energetic field will manifest as disease in your physical body. Now, you might be asking by now, what is this energy field made of? Well, the energy anatomy of your physical body is composed primarily of your emotions, thoughts, and feelings, but it's also composed of the energy of what you consume. This subtle form of energy called chi or prana carries the information that creates and organizes both your physical and energetic body. It designs your physical structure, health, actions, thoughts, and even the circumstances you attract into your life. In other words, the quality of your conscious or subconscious thoughts and the feelings and everything that you consume have a direct impact on your health and your life. Emotions have a tremendous impact on both your energetic and physical bodies. They are the language of energy, and they bring into awareness unconscious beliefs. Emotions are neither good or bad. It is our interpretation based on our beliefs that causes them to judge them as such. Being in the present moment is only achieved by embracing emotions, listening to their message, and integrating issues of the past. All emotions have two essential functions. They provide information and they mobilize intention. The problem is that humans do not like feel uncomfortable, so they tend to judge difficult and unpleasant emotions as bad. Consequently, people try to avoid or change the external circumstances to stop experiencing the emotion. But emotions are not intended to be avoided, repressed, pursued, or altered. Instead, they need to be accepted, listened to, learned from, and processed. Emotions are meant to show you what is happening around you and where you have gotten stuck. Most of your emotions are triggered by subconscious beliefs created by your past about yourself and the world. It is never about what's happening to us. It is more about the interpretation. whether an emotion works for you or against you depends on the beliefs behind it. If you do not like an emotion you're experiencing, all you need to do is change the feeling and accept it. Explore the message and integrate it into the experience of the past that created it. The more you process the experience of the past, the clearer you become, and the more your emotions will tell you about the present real-time situation rather than replaying unfinished business. Otherwise, you will continue to experience the same feelings because avoiding it or trying to release it will not work. It will only suppress it, driving it deeper and deeper into the subconscious. The mere fact that you're judging a situation as good or as bad will bring it into existence or allow it to persist. That is why in many traditional medicine modalities, the priority in the healing process is emotional health. And emotional health starts with mindful awareness. By learning to quiet the mind, awareness can free us from obstructed emotions. The focused, self-reflective mind is calm and clear. It observes with wisdom and strengthens the spirit. And a strong spirit leads to health and healing against any disease. Not to mention, when our emotions are in balance and we can have self-love and self-respect, we naturally make quality choices of food and lifestyle that benefit our health. The critical role that emotions play in healing and overall health cannot be overemphasized. We participate and are responsible for a lot of the things that happen to us. For example, if you hate your job, you are more likely to get sick and die at a younger age than someone who's happy at work and has a nice family life and is mentally well adjusted. The mind and body are not separate units, but one integrated system. How we act and what we think, eat, and feel are all related to the health of our physical and our energetic body. In fact, the latest scientific discoveries now classify unforgiveness as a disease. They state that refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them ill. As a result, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat disease such as cancer. Other studies have found that the act of forgiveness can improve your health by lowering your risk of heart attack, improving your cholesterol levels and sleep, and they also reduce pain, blood pressure, anxiety, depression, and stress. On the other hand, harboring the negative emotions associated with unforgiveness, such as anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. And we know by now that chronic anxiety very predictably produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldier in fighting the cancer. Also, negative emotions sustained over time can change our vibrational frequency. They cause block in our energy anatomy and manifest in illness and adverse circumstances. This is because when we hurt emotionally, our pain is transmitted to our cells, to our energy anatomy, and then eventually can be responsible for physical illnesses. Positive emotions such as happiness, compassion, engagement, purpose, positive accomplishments, and optimism protect you from physical illness, and they also predict lack of depression, higher achievement, and physical health. Not only are these feelings profoundly healing and soothing, they also help people face the many challenges that come their way. A positive mental attitude, prayer, and meditation can raise our vibration and promote favorable circumstances into your life. There are many components to our energetic anatomy, too many to cover on today's show, but let's talk about the basics. One of the components is something called the meridians. The meridians are channels in the body that have no material form and transmit subtle energy or chi as a vital life force. The chi that travels through the meridians is encoded with necessary information for the body to function on a cellular level. And sources of chi include food, air, water, emotions, and the essence of the kidneys. How well we use this chi from these sources will depend on our lifestyle and attitudes. Whatever manifests in our bodies will be an expression of how well we use qi. Qi that stagnates causes accumulation, resulting in negative emotions, obesity, tumors, cysts, cancers, and viral and yeast-related diseases. All of these usually arise with a sedentary lifestyle, harmful emotions, and poor diet. Exercise, herbal therapy, yoga, qigong, acupuncture, and awareness practices such as meditations are many of the ways that we can clear obstructions and maximize qi. You can look at the meridians as an energy highway of the human body where she travels. They are mapped through the body and have access to all parts of the body, and they connect to the chakras. The chakras are vortices of swirling energy. You can think of the shape of the chakra as a wheel, whirlpool, or funnel. The energy of each chakra can spin either clockwise or counterclockwise. There are hundreds of chakras in the body. However, seven of them, called the primary chakras, are considered the basis of human existence and are associated with each one of the layers of our aura. I will talk about the aura in a little bit. Now let's continue focusing on the chakras for a little bit. The chakras originate in what is called the Hara line, a vertical column along the spine to which our seven chakras attach at their center. A chakra blockage or imbalance in one or several of the seven chakras can initiate mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual problems. The seven chakras are connected and associated with the following parts of the body. The first one to the perineum or the coccyx area. It is located at the base of the spine, you know, our tailbone area, and is associated with the adrenal glands. This chakra is associated with security and survival issues. Its color is red. The symptoms related to a blockage or weak root chakra are lower back pain, diarrhea, fear, exhaustion, lack of power to confront problems, financial issues, addiction, and lethargy. The second one, it's connected to the lower belly and is seen a few inches below the navel. This chakra is related to creative energy, pleasure, overall well-being, and abundance. Its color is orange. When you have a weak or blocked second chakra, you can experience jealousy, lack of sexual desire, urinary tract infections, kidney stones, creative blocks, and poor emotional boundaries. You may also mistake other emotions for your own. On the other hand, when this chakra is open and balanced, you will have healthy sexual relationships, strong and stable relationships, and a creative life. The third one is near the solar plexus, and it relates to issues of self-worth, self-esteem, and self-confidence. Its color is yellow. If the chakra is balanced, you will quickly be able to manifest your dreams into reality, and you will be able to understand complex issues. Symptoms when it's out of balance or blocked include stomach ailments, fear, ulcers, bulimia, obesity, indigestion, feelings of victimization, trying to control others, and having a hard time making decisions. The fourth one belongs to the center of the chest and is slightly left to the physical heart. Its color is green, and it relates to an ability to give and receive love. Love is the connection between mind, body, and soul, and connects us with everything. Symptoms when it's out of balance or block include heart problems, intolerance, a weak immune system, asthma, angina, and lack of joy in life. This chakra deals with issues of self-love, forgiveness, self-validation, self-worth, compassion, and harmony in relationships. The fifth one, which is called the throat chakra, its color is blue, and the chakra relates to communication, decision-making, creativity, and truth. It works in conjunction with the second chakra. And when these two are in balance, anything you want can be accomplished. When blocked or out of balance, one may experience a sore throat, dishonesty, thyroid problems, constant talking, shyness, or the inability to speak one's truth to another person. The sixth one is in between the eyebrows or third eye. Its color is indigo, and it relates to intuition, intelligence, wisdom, and discernment. When there's a blockage in this chakra or is out of balance, one might experience migraine headaches, tension headaches, eye problems, feeling spaced out, forgetfulness, feeling too much in one's head, problems staying focused, or failure to connect with one's or inner wisdom. The seventh or last chakra is on top of the cranium. Its color is violet or pure white light. It relates to inspiration, oneness with the universe or God, divinity, present moment awareness, and inner wisdom. When it's blocked or out of balance, one might experience confusion, dominance, lack of self-awareness, mental illness, worry, dizziness, or looking outside yourself for answers. Each chakra exchanges energy information with that aura. They assimilate the information coming from the aura and translates it so the body can process it. In addition, any energetic changes in your body and mind are sent to the aura through the chakras. Each of the major chakras is associated with the endocrine gland and conveys emotional and physiological aspects to it. The aura has been described as an electromagnetic energy field that surrounds people, animals, plants, and objects. The human aura is like a luminous egg-shaped ball of energy that encompasses the body and radiates an emission that is wider at the bottom than on the top. It is believed that the emission is about 3 feet out of the body. Now, the quality and size of this field adjusts according to the function being performed in our emotions. Therefore, in some people, this field can be larger. The aura forms your entire consciousness and awareness that guides you through life. It is magnetic in nature and attracts experiences toward you. The aura was developed in part by your past life experiences and holds the ideal energetic template to create your current life and attract the necessary circumstances for your spiritual development. All matter, inanimate or animate, has an aura or energy field. Animate fields are stronger and more easily felt, but both can be used to strengthen your aura. In general, the weaker the auric field, the more susceptible it is to outside influences. Nature is cleansing and balancing to your aura. So one way to balance your aura is to be around plants, flowers, and trees because they have a dynamic energy field and each one has a unique frequency, just like humans do. Because of this, different plants, flowers, and trees can be touched, hugged, or have around for different effects. Due to the electromagnetic nature of the aura, every aura will leave an imprint upon what it's interacting with. This interaction can be with a person, the environment, or an object. For instance, if you typically sit in a specific chair, you spend a lot of time in a room, you leave traces of your energy around it. Isn't it amazing? So the longer a person has contact with an object, the stronger it becomes charged with energy pattern that is similar to that person. Also, the longer and more intimate the contact, the stronger the imprint will be. The more you're exposed to specific energies, the more you're influenced by them, and the more they're influenced by you. If the energy of the other person is stronger, it can quickly bring you into resonance with it and the other way around. And by stronger, I don't mean negative or positive, just mean stronger. If someone is very negative and they persist in that feeling, then that's going to be stronger. But if a person is constantly positive, then that's going to be a strong field too. It just depends who stays in that emotion the longest, who has the stronger feel. Intimate contact, such as sexual activity, intricately entwines the auric energies and creates a powerful and intimate exchange between those involved. This energy connection and debris can last longer than those that happen through casual contact, and they're not easily or quickly cleansed or balanced, and the longer the entangling will take. Consequently, you will share this energy with other people you share intimate, close experiences and have sex with. This intricate entwinement of energies means that there's no such thing as casual sex. The more prolonged and more intimate the contact with another, the more powerful and subtle the auric interaction is, and the harder will be to cleanse. This interaction is not limited to our aura. It has been proven scientifically by the Institute of Heart Math in California that these interactions not only affect our energy field, but they also impact our heart and our brain. The frequency of your entire being is what dictates their physical and emotional health. This is because our vibration turns into chi, which moves through the meridians up to the chakras until it reaches your aura. See how important it is who we share our space and time with? Your health and quality of your being depends on it. That is because a disruption or block in any of these systems can manifest in poor health, adverse circumstances, or negative emotions. These blocks or disturbances can be created by poor quality food, stress, beliefs that no longer serve us, and intimate relationships, and of course, the environmental toxins. Remember that the communication between these systems is bidirectional. The meridians touch every cell in our body. If the quality of the cell is weak, the frequency of the energy passed up to the aura will lower the vibration, consequently attracting disease and undesirable circumstances into your life. Because this is a bidirectional communication, we're able to change our bodies in this, and this change indirectly will also affect our energetic system. And this can be done by exercise, herbal therapy, yoga, qigong, acupuncture, and awareness practices such as meditation, because all of these therapies clear obstructions and maximize qi. So as you can see, we are very complicated systems that require more than a pill or surgery to promote health and happiness. I believe the power to heal ourselves is within us, but it is essential that we deal with the deeper meaning of illnesses. We need to ask ourselves, what does this illness mean to me? What can I learn from this illness? From this point of view, you can see the illness as a simple message coming from your body informing you that something is not right. A return to health requires personal work and change. Without personal change, you will end up creating another problem to lead you back to the source that caused the disease in the first place. That is why true healing is holistic. It emphasizes an equilibrium of the mind, body, and the environment, and it focuses on health rather than disease. The emphasis on the overall condition of the individual rather than illness or disease from which the individual is suffering. And the use of energy medicine, spirituality, emotional balance, food, and herbs are a core part of any holistic system of medicine. There are two major approaches to healing. The first one is the inner healing, which establishes balance and health in all levels of the person by focusing on dealing directly with the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects of the human being. In particular, it focuses on how the beliefs create a problem and how people create their reality. This process of inner healing rebalances the energy in each body by focusing on the expression of that imbalance, correcting it, and repairing the appropriate layer of the aura. And this can be done by laying of hands or other forms of energy medicine. This realignment helps establish balance in the rest of the person too. The second or outer healing approach is used to enhance and accelerate basic healing. Outer healing methods are used and in many cases are very much needed to save a person's life or to alleviate the physical symptoms that are being manifested in the body by faulty belief systems. These methods include but are not limited to conventional medicine, herbs, acupuncture, acupressure, chiropractic, vitamins, and nutrition. These methods tend to reach up to the first three layers of the aura. However, until the faulty belief system is not corrected or challenged, illness again will appear in the physical body, even after the current symptoms have been revealed. That's why the inner healing method is the most important, but the other healing methods are needed to supplement this process. Traditional medicine has successfully applied this multidimensional approach for centuries. But in the late 20th century, science began to also recognize the value of herbs, a proper diet, and the interaction between physiological processes and the nervous and immune systems. Now, not only more and more research has demonstrated the importance of herbs and diet to our health, it also shows how changes in human consciousness produce changes in the human body. This research reveals how our bodies respond to each of our thoughts and feelings and create cascades of biochemicals in our bodies, and how each experience has produced positive or negative changes in ourselves. What science is not showing us is that genes determine physical characteristics such as eye color and height. However, our environment and consciousness, including our beliefs about health, aging, prayers, thoughts, intentions, and faith, contribute to our health, happiness, and longevity more than our genes. In fact, genes account for about 35% of longevity, while lifestyle, diet, and other environmental factors, including support systems, are the major reason people live longer. What research is showing us is that genes only produce potentiality, a foundation, and not a specific phenomena. So it is more precise to think of genes as providers of opportunities or sources of options rather than as rigid dictators of destiny. Additionally, approximately 60% of the causes of health problems and chronic illness cannot be explained by what conventional medicine often considers triggers, for example, pathogens, genetic factors, and so on. So conventional medicine does not have an explanation for them, and they do not know how to treat it. And what they end up doing is treating the symptoms with thoughts and medications or surgeries, which not only makes things worse and impact our physical body, but also our energetic anatomy and eventually creates different medical condition or what we call side effects. More importantly, blood tests and other diagnostic techniques used by Western medicine to diagnose certain diseases are based on what conventional medicine calls normal ranges. But what happens when a person is experiencing symptoms, but his or her numbers do not fall in that normal range? Well, most of us have been there. We're told that you're healthy, and in worst case scenarios, you're told it's all in your head and you're making it up. And this leaves people suffering with their symptoms, but also feeling frustrated, scared, and hopeless. This is a very common occurrence. I have experienced that, and I have heard many stories from countless of clients. Our bodies and our environments are too complex to continue using this approach to health, which is why Western medicine is no longer serving us in cases of complex out-of-the-box disorders such as autoimmune and chronic illnesses. Our thoughts, feelings, and external environment, such as social network, food, and toxins, they turn our genes on and off. This is called genetic expression. This means that our actions, feelings, and environment contribute to our health status more than our genes. We are not victims of our genes. Instead, the condition of our health is in our hands. For this reason, to prevent or to heal from an illness, it is necessary to create an environment that supports our health and healing processes. And this environment must include activities that encourage an equilibrium between our mind, our body, and our energetic body. To heal means to make whole. Therefore, when treating any disorder, it is important to treat the person and not the disease or the lab results, because every illness or symptom is just a facade that hides or distracts us from the whole person. Therefore, we need to get through the layers of symptoms until the root of the problem gets discovered and addressed. Finding balance means looking after yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally, and taking responsibility for your own condition. As I said before, there will be times where your physical body has an immediate need, like in the case of pain, heart attack, car accident, food allergies, or if you're bleeding. In those times, it makes sense for you to resort to conventional medicine or to the second method of a natural healing, which is nutrition, acupuncture, homeopathy, or herbs to resolve your symptoms. Remember that working with your physical body also impacts your energetic body. So do not get discouraged if you start healing at this level first. Any change you make at the physical level will eventually trigger a change at your energetic level and will get to the root of the problem. But after the symptom has cleared or while it's clearing, you will need to start working on the inner healing and use energy medicine or awareness practices to get to the underlying belief that is causing your issue. And there, of course, will be other times where the situation is not as urgent and you will be able to start working at your inner healing first and with, again, energy medicine, and that could be your first choice. True healing needs to combine both the inner and outer methods that include medical doctors, chiropractors, herbalists, naturopath, homeopath, acupuncturists, psychologists, and any other natural healers. And they all need to work together to aid in the healing process. And that is the reason I selected multidimensional health as the name for my show, because I really believe that true healing must be done at different levels that include a healthy mind, body, spirit, and our energetic body too. This means that there will be times when you must use a modality of healing that matches your current situation, or you must approach an imbalance from multiple perspectives at the same time, such as with nutrition or herbs. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning into Multidimensional Health Show. For more information or to schedule a private consultation, go to www.drtonycamacho.com. Have a great week.